Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Campus Activewear Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star then zero on your touchtone phone. Before we proceed on this call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The Campus Activewear's management team is represented by Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, and Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening, everyone. I thank you all for joining our Quarter 4 and FY24 earnings call today. As mentioned in our previous calls, we view FY24 as a transitionary one. Campus Activewear experienced a robust resurgence in H2 FY24 with a renewed emphasis on expanding its trade distribution network and introducing new products including Campus OG's Nitrofly, Nitro Boost and Air Capsule styles. The company effectively captured the attention and spending of consumers through strategic investments in branding and launched for new R&D enabled products during H2 FY24. Campus Activewear further widens its presence across India by inaugurating 66 new stores in the western, southern and eastern regions, bringing the total number of exclusive brand outlets to 268 by the end of the year. In spite of a challenging economic macro, we stayed focused on fortifying our balance sheet strength. The company paid off debts amounting to INR 156.5 crores in FY24, reaching a net debt-free status during the year. It gives me immense pleasure to share that Campus Activewear generated the highest ever net operating cash flow of INR 264.5 crores in FY24. We also saw a notable reduction in our working capital cycle, cutting it down from 108 days in FY23 to 79 days in FY24, thanks to a decreased inventory levels and a deliberate effort to reduce the receivable days. Campus Activewear is dedicated to offering its consumers top-tier global designs and technology in sports and athleisure footwear. Our extensive range of products, variety of color options, and commitment to affordability ensures that we meet the growing diverse needs of our consumers. We are committed to strengthening our brand identity by crafting compelling narratives, fostering deep connections with our target consumers. Our ongoing efforts to expand our product range are in line with our aspiration to establish ourselves as India's premier sports and athleisure footwear brand. With a robust balance sheet position, the management is determined to grow and enhance Campus Activewear's omni-channel presence, provide outstanding consumer experiences through innovative product offerings, and enhance the customer's campus's recall value as the most preferred sports and athleisure brand amongst Indian households. We are geared to create a long-term value for stakeholders through our distinct integrated business model, combined with a strong balance sheet position. I will now hand it over to our CFO, Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, to take you through more details on the Q4 and FY24 performance. Thank you. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us in our Q4 and FY24 earnings call. Looking at the financial year 23-24 in review, our operational revenue stood at 1448 crores, lower by around 2.4% year-on-year, successfully navigating the disruption caused by O2O and B2B business channel. Most of the revenue loss from these channels were recovered by the marketplace business. The company sold approximately 22.2 million pairs in FY24, lower by around 5.6% year-on-year. The average selling price increased by 3.4% from 631 rupees to around 652 rupees during the full year FY24. The revenue mix between men and women and children categories stood at 80:20 during FY24, a marginal shift from 81:19, reflecting our efforts to expand the women's category. Our EBITDA for the full year was at INR 215.3 crores. Turning to the balance sheet, as Nikhil mentioned, we have seen a significant decrease in the net debt from around 180 crores to around 24 crores as at end of FY24. I'm happy to state that we have achieved the net debt free status in FY24. Our balance sheet remains strong, showcasing strong return ratios with return on capital employed at around 19.2% and return on equity of around 14.9% as of 31st March 24. With that summary, I would now conclude my remarks and open the floor to the moderator for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vedisa Seth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on the overall demand landscape. So some of the consumer companies have been talking about some uptake in rural. So can you talk about the overall demand scenario, including market share trends in each region for the quarter gone by and the current quarter? And in the same context as a follow-up, how are you thinking of premiumization and overall volume growth over the medium term? That would be my first question.
Hi, Vinita. Nikhil here. Thanks for your question. So, during the quarter, right, so we've seen increase in our north and west business by almost like a 10% increase year on year. And the other regions have sort of been flattish, like east and central and south have more or less been flat. So, therefore, we've seen definitely an uptick between these two territories. And this is where we called out last time as well, if you remember, the states of UP, Bihar, and Maharashtra is where we were specifically focusing a lot of energy to revive those states. So I'm happy to share that, especially in these three states, we've seen a significant improvement by up to 20, 14, and 10% respectively. So rural demand, we have definitely seen our fair share of subdued demand over the year, especially in quarter two and some bit in quarter three. But with our renewed focus towards certain strategies that we have implemented, including portfolio optimization. So as of today, we basically launched a complete and very comprehensive portfolio of designs, catering from all price points, starting at 799, going up to as high as 2999. So we have very good, adequate number of designs in good throughput, in good volumes at each and every price point. So we have made sure that there is no gap in the portfolio which is unaddressed. And we have definitely seen good momentum from that strategy, coming in. Therefore, we are fairly confident of navigating the rural demand, as it may, as it has happened in quarter four. Yeah.
Okay. So, Nikhil, just in that context, do you think the premiumization journey is getting a little delayed as we're focusing on addressing all the right pricing gaps?
So, it could be slightly. We have premiumized a lot over the last 5 years by almost 5 to 6% ASP increase every year, average, right? So the company has premiumized significantly in the last 3-4 years. Given how I would say the last 18 months have gone, and clearly we have seen some stress towards premiumization as well, slight stress. So therefore, we've pivoted to the strategy of increasing our economical portfolio as well, that is, you know, from 899, basically up to 1,000 bucks MRP. So that would definitely give us additional volume, and any margin, you know, there would be compensated by additional volume from and create operating leverage. Therefore, you know, we have to navigate the macros as the demand, as the you know, scene commands. So we cannot run our strategy in silo. We have to understand the market dynamics, and they called today for a complete and comprehensive portfolio from the company side.
Got it. Fairly clear. And the second question was on our network. There seems to have been a drastic change in the MBU and distributor network. So the retail reach has increased from 20,000 to 23,000, whereas the distributor reach seems to have been rationalized from 400, 425 to 300. So can you explain what's exactly happened over here?
So it's just part of the consolidation, like we called out. We've been following up with various strategies in the distribution channel, and therefore, you know, that has resulted definitely in some decent growth this quarter. So we've seen about 7.5% growth in terms of value in our trade channel in quarter four, and this is primarily due to these two or three initiatives that we have quite aggressively run. So one is the consolidation of distributors, as you pointed out. So one is that, and the other is increase in the count of retailers, increase in the count of our own feet on street, our own sales force to you know, give better coverage and better serviceability. Along with that, like I mentioned, we've given a full assortment of products at every single price point. And finally, we've also rationalized and optimized the schemes and incentives and made much better, I would say, distributor friendly policies. So combined with all of these factors, we have seen a decent trend, a decent, I would say, growth in the distribution channel in quarter four. So largely, that consolidation of distributors and increase in retail network is part of the strategy.
Okay, and this consolidation, has it been pan-India or restricted to any specific region?
It's mostly pan-India. It's across, depending on the territory. Yeah.
Okay, I had a few more questions. I'll come back. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Nikhil, in imports of footwear, we've seen a significant decline in the Jan to March period. Have you started to see any green shoots already?
No, so you're right. The imports have certainly declined, and this is the news also that we're getting from the channel. But because, you know, the BIS norms dictate that we need to upload the non-BIS inventory onto the portals by 1st of August this year, and the government has given time till 1st of June 2025 to liquidate all non-BIS goods. Therefore, we believe that, you know, a lot of, I would say, importers did some loading of inventory early on. Therefore, we will see, you know, some bit of liquidation from their end over the year, maybe up till even June next year. But we were not too really bothered about that because from our side, we have taken adequate measures to make sure that we are fully covered and on track with in terms of growth. So, but as of now, to answer your question, we don't see any significant green shoots coming in from the stop of imports. They will certainly come, but maybe in the next two or three quarters.
Understood. The second question was on your other expenses. We've seen a significant decline of around 17% on absolute basis, despite a 4% volume growth. So was there any one-off or a provision reversal during the quarter?
Hi, this is Sanjay. I'll just like to take that question. Other expenses primarily are a subset of three big buckets. One is our factory overheads, plus freight, and then the admin SG&A, and also the advertisement and promotion spend. So you see a dip versus last year. It's a combination of, again, three things. The factory overheads have come down Primarily, we have realigned our workforce based on the production requirement for this quarter. Last year, same quarter, the production was higher and hence our cost was high. This year, we recalibrated that cost. Number two, we did do a front loading of A&P spends in Q3, which is in the season. So this year in Q4, our A&P spends are lower by around 6 crores. However, on a H2 basis, the spends are higher versus last year. And also the third line, which is online commission, there we got certain rebates during the campaign period. It's a rebate from the platforms, and it was adequately offset to a sort of reduction in the ASP during that campaign period. So it's a line shift. However, on a full bucket basis, we have been able to control back-end cost. A&P is a phasing thing, and this online commission is driven by campaigns, specific campaigns.
Understood. Very clear. Thanks for that. And just one clarification. So you mentioned trade distribution mix to be 56% in one of your slides. However, if we do that, then your trade distribution revenue goes beyond 800 crores. So I'm assuming that's a typo, right? Or is the understanding incorrect?
Could be in certain slides, maybe. It's including net sales or dispatches. Sales. So that could be a sort of placement okay. issue. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot. And all the best for the next year.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mehul Desai from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. First, I wanted to understand if you could give, you did allude to the fact that trade distribution has grown by 7.5% for the quarter. If you can give the same growth rate number for your D2C online as well as your D2C offline for the quarter.
Sure, Mehul. Yeah.
So, Mehul, the D2C channel has shown sort of 6% degrowth for the quarter. Distribution has grown, but D2C has degrown. That's again primarily... Still, we are sitting on some of the impact of B2B and O2O channel, which has degrown by around 55%, but marketplace has simultaneously grown by 32%. So, by and large, it did offset. Net-net, our value growth is around 4.7% for the quarter.
Okay.
And
all
what is the D2C offline channel growth?
D2C offline again is more than 30%. So, our COCOs and FOFOs have grown up by in the range of 30-35%, and large format stores have also grown 40% plus in the quarter.
And obviously, now, how do you see, if you could give some color on how the April, May month has panned out, are you seeing the moving back to high single-digit kind of volume growth? And lastly, how do you see the gross margin and EBITDA margin trajectory for FY25?
Mehul, as much as we'd like to answer this question, I hope you'll appreciate that we can't comment on any forward-looking statements, but certainly we'll aspire to, maintain and grow the business certainly from here in terms of growth rate. And, certainly maintain the margin profile as well. So we believe the company is definitely back on track with all the right initiatives in place, which are being, you can see it from the balance sheet position, which is the best basically that we've ever seen in the history of the company. And from here on, we're just focusing largely on very fundamental three or four major initiatives across the company on which all the functions are aligned towards, right? So that we materialize them and deliver on growth. So we are fairly confident, but I would not like to comment in terms of numbers here, please.
Yeah. And lastly, if you could give the reason for the gross margin compression on YOY and QOQ basis?
Mehul, just to explain it, there are a couple of factors, common factors both for QOQ and YOY. So as I mentioned that we see a, in other expenses there is a drop which is primarily driven by lower online commission. During campaigns we got certain rebates on online commission and we did pass on a part of that through lower ASP for the D2C channel. That has resulted in around 1% lower gross margin. Apart from that, we have taken a one-time NRV hit of roughly 1.6 crores. So our COGS have gone up to that extent, and that has also resulted in a drop of roughly 40 basis points. So that's roughly 1.5%, which is getting reflected both in quarter-on-quarter and YOY.
Sorry, this 1.6 crore, what was it?
It's a NRV hit, meaning that the net realizable value of some of our articles, over aging inventory articles, are lower versus the cost. So we have sold certain articles in the subsequent period at a lower than the cost of production, and that has impacted the P&L by 1.6 crores.
Understood. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, could you please share what is the, you know, ASP difference in online versus trade channel? And are we seeing premiumization play out there? Because, you know, historic years we have seen a strong premiumization in online and EBO channel.
Right. So, there has been certain ASP increase in both the channels. We have definitely seen some bit in online as well. But like I shared earlier, you know, we are focusing on a complete portfolio, comprehensive portfolio strategy as of now, going forward, right? Because this is what the market demands. So there could be slight dip in ASP. I mean, maybe the ASP won't grow at the same pace, but that would be more than offset in terms of the higher volumes that we'll be able to, you know, command, and that will offset the, any loss in terms of ASP. So that's basically the strategy as of now going forward, Ankit.
Sure. So is it fair to assume that now the online channel is going to get an inventory after a few months of offline launch of the comprehensive strategy you're doing, or what is the strategy, you know, how do you play that strategy, if you can just deep dive a little more on that?
Sure. So portfolio is specific to each channel. So we don't have a common portfolio anymore. There is no conflict, especially between the online and GTM, between GT. So there is a complete, you know, segregation of portfolio across all price points between both the channels. EBO, however, continues to carry common portfolio because this is company-owned stores and we control all the merchandising there. And LFS, again, is specific to, they have a separate portfolio specific to their needs. So basically, we have a complete comprehensive portfolio across every single touch point today, across all the channels, across all the price points and categories, including not just limited to shoes, but we've also increased the salience slightly towards more open as well during seasonal times, right, during the summers. So we need to give higher portfolio in terms of sandals, slippers, and school shoes as well. So that's basically the strategy, that, you know, complete full range across all price points and in decent volumes, right?
And given that, you know, the current inventory levels are healthy, do you think discounting in the market has got lower in the current season compared to the past by the retailers? Because the feedback we were getting in the market for past two quarters was that they were undercutting each other because, you know, your breadth of retailers have increased and, you know, some of them are usually selling it at, you know, single-digit margins. So now with the distributor consolidation happened, and however the retailer reach is increased. So on the ground, because of the healthy portfolio, has what has led to, you know, this kind of growth which you know, you spoke of in a couple of questions earlier.
No, so it's not related to, I would say, any sort of discounting. Discounting at depth has become better, only it's gone lower at the ground level in terms of retailers, mainly due to consolidation of distributors. So we have rationalized the margins, we have reassessed the schemes and incentives, and the way they've been designed is basically for a win-win situation, both from the company's perspective and the partner's perspective. So that's the way we are addressing this this current issue at hand. And going forward as well, we will continue, because the strategy has panned out really well, and we have seen growth coming in from this. So we will continue to maintain it. I don't see you know, any challenge in terms of discounting. Like, we've not gotten that feedback. It's lately become much better, especially after segregation of the online and offline portfolio. We don't hear of over discounting at the moment from the market.
Sure. Thank you so much, Nikhil, and all the best.
Thank you, Ankit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedisa Seth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just one small clarification. When you said that there is no discounting in the channel anymore, I mean, does that also mean that the channel inventory is largely normalized at the moment?
No, what I meant is that so a retailer, you know, in distribution business, they end up giving at least 10 to 12% average discounts across all geographies. So that is just like the average that we know of. And initially, when there used to be conflict, then the discounting became higher when there was conflict between the online and offline trade. So what I meant earlier in my earlier statement was that that conflict has gone away. Therefore, the discounting have been normalized and have come back to the 10% levels in the distribution business at the retailer level. And therefore, keeping that in mind, we've rationalized and optimize the margin structure across the channel trade now to make sure that discounting does not increase again.
Okay. So where does the channel inventory stand as of today? Is it still elevated or no, now it's largely normalized?
It's fairly in control. We don't see, barring maybe just one or two areas, which is not very concerning, we are fairly comfortable in terms of channel inventory at the moment.
Got it. Thanks. That's awesome.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tanmay Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, actually our plan was to increase the channel mix from to 50-50 versus trade distribution and D2C. Now giving that trade distribution channel has been growing faster than D2C, how we look this mix to reach again to 50-50 level?
Hi Tanmay. No, so we are definitely still very much on the same track, you know, in terms of 50-50 split. We are very happy with how the distribution channel has come up in quarter four. But that does not mean that online channels will not grow. It was just a transient thing this year where online, sales got substituted between O2O and marketplace. Therefore, but now that channel has also reached a level of stabilization in terms of that split that happened, and going forward we will definitely see growth from the online channel as well, which would take us back towards 50-50 split.
Understood. And the advertisement level will continue to remain higher for that?
Yes, so we have been trending at about 7% AMP spend this year, FY24. We do not foresee any reduction in that at the moment, so we'll probably continue to spend in the range of 6 to 7% for sure.
Oh. And so last on the current environment, so we have seen that the last year was not been very encouraging in the sports category. We have seen a decline in revenue. So is the market is still challenging, or we are hoping some kind of recovery in the second half or in second quarter?
It's difficult to comment, I mean, in terms of the outlook, right? The macro trends at the moment seem normal. I mean, they're not too bad and not too great. They're pretty average, but and also this is really not the main season time for us as a brand. So quarter two, as you know, quarter two is basically the smallest quarter and followed by quarter one. But certainly we've made some, you know, some portfolio, like I mentioned earlier, we made some portfolio adjustments and changes in terms of incorporating a bit more towards economical segment and open category to offset the a bit of cyclical and seasonal nature of the business towards quarter one and two as well. So we'll continue with that, but I mean I won't be able to really comment towards the macro side of things, how the market pans out.
So North India was basically degrowing versus the other parts of the country. So is that continue to see right now also?
Not in quarter four. In quarter four, we've grown North by almost 14-odd percent. The entire North put together. So we have seen you know, a decent recovery in the North on the distribution side, and therefore, you know, I'm sure we'll continue on that momentum.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
So one question on margins. You know, given that the A&P spends will remain elevated levels and pricing will not tinker much, do you think the steady state margins now is around 16-17% for the company instead of 20%, you know, last 2 or 3 years which we enjoyed?
So, Ankit, we're coming out of a tough macro situation this year, as we all know, and I would say it's a decent recovery in terms of margin in quarter four. So, going forward, certainly we'll aspire to, you know, maintain our margins in the range of, I would say, 17-19% EBITDA levels. You know, that is the aspiration, and even in this quarter four, we've delivered at 18.3. So, I mean, we are taking, you know, whatever initiatives we have to take at the company level in order to maintain these levels, I would say.
Sure. My second question is on the EBO business. You know, we are at around, 270 odd EBOs today. Over the next 3 years, what is the aspiration from the EBO side? One is on the growth. Second is, on the mix of cocoa EBOs.
So we, barring FY24, previously we've continuously opened about 100 stores on average every year. FY24 is the only year after 3 years where we've opened slightly lesser number of stores at 67. The reason being mainly because of the macros, the way, you know, this year has tended. So we just took a more cautiously optimistic approach and opened lesser number of stores. But going forward, as we see, you know, better visibility and, you know, I would say BIS impact also coming in, we would certainly like to get back on track in terms of opening about 80 to 100 stores, you know, from FY25 onwards again. Most of which would be FOFOs. We've been trending at about, I would say, 75-25 FOFO to COCO ratio. So we'll continue probably to trend at that level.
And my last question will be on the competitive intensity. You know, while given that the imports have reduced and, you know, probably in a quarter or two, we'll see them reduce further, are you seeing some of the unorganized markets you know, launching their own smaller brands and, you know, fueling the market at the entry-level price points at the lower level, or you think you continue to gain market share and premiumization is the way forward?
I wouldn't honestly say premiumization is the way forward for FY25. Like I mentioned earlier, FY25, you know, coming out of a tough macro environment for everyone, especially in the consumer discretionary sector, we will have to be more conducive towards the, you know, market environment, and therefore we've decided to go in for a holistic, comprehensive portfolio approach for FY25. And you know, so I would not really say premiumization could be there, but lower than, you know, previous years. But that would definitely be offset by higher offtake of volumes, and that would bring in operating leverage. So, and we're not particularly too concerned about the competition, you know, at bay, because every company has their own strategy, and Campus as a brand has been doing really well. The top of mind recall and the brand pull is one of the best in the industry and the category. So we'll continue to leverage on that position in terms of volume offtake and the category offering. So we're fairly confident of navigating the, I would say, competitive landscape.
So, you know, just a follow-up on the competitive landscape, you know, product plays a very critical role in this. Given that you have in-house assembly and now a big part of sole manufacturing, and the kind of, you know, SKU launches which you have been doing, how important is that, and how early is the competition able to copy your products in the market, because that will give you a clear edge versus them at obviously affordable price point?
No, great question. So, you know, we definitely take pride in our supply chain and our integrated supply chain, rather, right, which is one of the largest in the country. So it's not easy for anyone to replicate in terms of the lead time, especially that we offer. This is the shortest, and we still trend at about 60 to 65 days of lead time from let's say sourcing to product launch, which is one of the best you know, out there. So we do not, I mean, for anyone to even copy, firstly, is not that easy anymore, because we have been very proactive in terms of protecting our IP and designs, you know, we have been registering a lot of the designs in real time basis as soon as they and before the launch. But at the same time, even if somebody does copy it, it takes the industry at least 4 to 5 months, because we are our offerings are basically the first time that's being offered in the country, and they are latest in terms of designs and fashion and material science and color combinations. So for anyone to bring all of that in real time, it would take them a few months, at least 4 to 5 months. So we do enjoy that you know, lead time advantage, being the category winners in this. Sanjay, would you like to add something?
Yeah, and apart from what you mentioned, copying our designs, I mean, the ability to churn more designs every season, that also plays a very important role. And having said that, we now focus more on the four large platforms like Nitrofly, Nitro Boost, OGs, and Air Capsule Pro, and we invest all our might or our marketing spend behind those styles, and the articles in these particular style or bucket, they have shown a decent amount of throughput in the distribution channel, and that's what the focus would be going forward.
So, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Nikhil, in past you have shared that on Flipkart, Campus had gained share. Would you have any update, and would you be still having access to some of that competitive data on marketplaces? Have you gained share?
Sorry, hello?
Sorry, I'm not sure if I was audible.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No, I heard you. Sorry, I thought you were saying something else. No, so we don't get that. We don't have that data at the moment, but, you know, the strategy that we followed for marketplaces, we have been gaining share across across the channels, and even Amazon, and both Amazon and Flipkart, which are the largest portals in the country, have done very, very well for the brand. Therefore, the marketplace business, you know, salience, I would say, has gone up across both these platforms, followed by Myntra as well. You know, so that has basically made up for the loss in terms of the O2O business. So I won't be able to comment on exact numbers, but we have seen a fair share of growth across the three platforms.
Sure. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavita Lasadro from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So you mentioned the growth in some of the key key regions that we cater to. So do you think we are yet to see recovery in some of the markets? If yes, then which are those markets? And also, what would be our key selling point? Do we see a large aspirational value as compared to the competition at the moment? Thank you.
Hi. So we do have, you know, many pockets of, I would say, low-lying or low-hanging fruits across the trade channel, especially in the regions of, I would like to maintain south and west. North as well, you know, wherever we did lose in terms of a little bit of market share over the last two, three quarters, we have significantly recovered in quarter four. And south and west do continue to be the priority territories for us. And for those also regions, you know, we have calibrated the portfolio accordingly, which is specific to the territories. And that's the approach we've taken. So these largely would be the focused, I would say, territories for us. What was your follow-up question on this?
So then second question I was highlighting is, what would be our key selling points from here on, and do we see large aspirational value as compared to the competition in our categories?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, the brand recall is extremely high. It's the number one top of mind brand. We have been spending north of 6% to 7% for the past few years now in terms of AMP spend. And, you know, that is, in terms of absolute value, by far the largest in the category. Therefore, you know, we'll continue to invest in terms of marketing and brand building, which will continue to lead towards brand aspiration and the value for, you know, the brand that we offer is basically parallel to none. So certainly we'll continue to focus on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Thakkar from FIL Industry. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a very basic first principle question. If we think about BIS implementation now, given that it's been delayed and there have been extensions and competition would have had, you know, time to source material, etc., you know, how do you see BIS implementing your business, let's say, over the next 6 months and then over the next 3 years? That's the only question from my side. Thank you.
Hi, Akshin. You know, 6 months, I would say there could be, you know, a little bit of flooding of inventory in terms of non-BIS inventory from a number of brands out there, which are out there. But over the long term, we certainly see a lot of value being derived because Jan onwards, all the imports have anyways been stopped. So there is very limited volume as of today or inventory across various brands and in terms of imported goods. So that would obviously have a limited, days of inventory. So we are not very concerned about, like I said, the next 6 months. We have a very good strategy which has been panning out really well. In terms of, we have a very good focus on the non-BIS goods as well. And we have brought down the number of days of non-BIS holding significantly in the last, 4 to 5 months, given the focus that we've had month on month. So we're tracking it very closely. We're monitoring, the liquidation of this inventory at very, very good prices. Therefore, we are very confident of selling the entire non-BIS inventory much, much ahead of the June 2025 deadline. Therefore, we don't see any short-term impact from the, let's say, flooding of that inventory from other players in the market. But we certainly see a good upside in the long term over the next 2 to 3 years.
Just one follow-up, Nikhil, to that. You know, last year and a half have been challenging for the company with the macro, with certain D2C businesses not doing well. Given where we are and the pivot in the strategy that we have done, what is your confidence level of getting to, let's say, double-digit growth to start with and then a mid-teen kind of growth that, you know, one would have thought a company of your scale size and the industry that you cater to should be possible? I'm not asking you for a guidance. I'm just trying to understand, are you confident that you can get there in a few quarters, or do you think, you know, it's still wait and watch?
No, sure, Akshin, fair question. So we do have a good visibility in terms of getting there sooner than later. The only question remains again is in terms of macros. As long as they remain stable and not too volatile or too depressed, right, I don't see really much of a challenge from here on, given the new strategy that we've pivoted to. So fairly confident of getting there soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Akshay.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one on your telephone to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Nikhil, you mentioned in your opening remarks that we've taken deliberate attempts to kind of bring down our receivables. So just wanted to understand, between the D2C and the trade distribution, what are the receivables now and current, compared to what they were before?
Hi, this is Sanjay. We have seen an overall reduction in our receivable days, primarily driven by the shift in channels. So when I talk about distribution, the normal outstanding there is in the range of 45 to 60 days. As far as D2C is concerned, there is again a mix of B2B, O2O and marketplace. So marketplace business normally churns cash faster in terms around 21 to 30 days. Last year, we had a major chunk in B2B business as well, which has shrunk to roughly 50%. So that shift in channel from B2B, O2O to marketplace has resulted in a D2C DSO improving by at least 50%, and that's what has got reflected in the overall DSOs. Right. So it's a channel dynamics impact, and as far as the conscious effort, from the organization is concerned, we have become more there are robust reviews to ensure that our dues are collected well in time, and whatever cash discount and schemes are there, they are like pay for performance mode. So that's what we are driving, and that has all resulted in a reduction, overall reduction in the receivables, or rather overdue receivables.
Okay, so this is the level which we can expect going ahead as well, right?
Yeah, if the channel mix continues to be same, we need to understand that it's a sum total of all the channels we are operating and what kind of saliencies we have in those respective sub-channels.
Okay. And secondly, on ad spend, this quarter, the ad spends were low, right? So, I mean, they declined over the over the base quarter. So is this more of a timing issue or is it kind of something else basically? Or is it something to do with like the channel mix, like since our D2C, salience would have come down or...
No, nothing of that sort. As I mentioned earlier, that ad spends you need to read at a H2 level. That would be more meaningful. Why? Because we did consciously front-ended as far as ad spend is concerned. We overspent in Q3 or rather in the season, both in terms of ATL spends, TV, and also the performance marketing. And accordingly, H2 was sort of recalibrated, or it's purely a phasing or phasing between two quarters. But overall, if you look at the H2, our spends were higher versus last year by roughly around 10 crores.
Okay. And in our DRSP, we have given the data of digital spends as a proportion of ad spend, right? What would that number be for F24?
By digital spend, if you mean the performance marketing spend, that would be roughly around 60 odd crores.
60 odd crores out of the 100 crore which you spend this year, right? Or roughly?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for the follow-up. Wanted the split of online in terms of B2B and O2O sales in FY24, and what was that number in FY23? Just that we know, I mean, how much sales you lost in the online channel. These two.
That number has come down to half. It was roughly 300 odd crores last year, and which is in the range of 160 crores this year.
I understand. Thank you so much. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. That was the last question for today's con call. On behalf of Campus Activewear Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and in case of any further queries, please reach out to Campus Activewear's Investor Relations team at ird@campusshoes.com. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.